What a beautiful day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, there's a little story that I would love to use as a setup today. It's a little bit different than my normal sermon. If you haven't been here before, this will be an unusual day, but I think you're going to really like it. Touch somebody, say you're going to like it. Because what's going to happen today out there is really more important than what's going to happen up here. And you'll see the hearts of people on display, the hearts of people who are concerned about humanity and who are driven by the cause of Christ as we move and give. And I just want to use for a backdrop of our offering today, John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Watch the screen. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." How many of you are married? Anybody married? Married men? I wouldn't advise you to use verse 4 very frequently, where Jesus said, "Woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. That's the capacity of these jars. And Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." And they did so. God honors initiative, not intention. It was when they did something. It was not when they dreamed about it. It was when they did something about it that supply and provision flowed to their life. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. And he didn't realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. And then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everybody brings out the good stuff first. And then once everybody is too wasted to know the difference, then they bring out the cheap stuff. But you have saved the best till now. You have saved the best till now. And what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Now, I want to use for a subject line today just a little saying that you've probably heard before. This is probably something that your mom said to you if you had a good mom, maybe when you were going through your awkward adolescent phase, or maybe you were getting a little chubby or something like that, and you were distraught about your acne or something. This is something every good mom will say. And my title for today is, "It's what's inside that counts." It's what's inside that counts. It's what's inside that counts. Now, God, I pray that you will open the hearts of everybody who's hearing my voice today. I want them to know that you're more interested in working in them sometimes than what they want you to do for them. Because if you don't do it in us before you do it for us, we won't be able to handle it. So we ask for patience in the process, because we know you're getting us ready for greater things yet to come. And we believe that the best days of 2015 are still ahead of us. We thank you that you saved the best to last. And we declare it now in Jesus' name. Everybody shout amen. Everybody shout amen. You sound good. All right, on your way to your seat, touch somebody and say, "You got a good heart." It's what's inside that counts. We had our staff Christmas party on Thursday, our Elevation Church staff Christmas party. And our staff Christmas party is a debaucherous affair. It's like a group roast. And the only people who are immune from being made fun of at the staff Christmas party are people whose last names start with fur and end with tick. So other than like me and Holly and my mom, nobody is off limits. And it's a beautiful time of blooper reels. And it's kind of the culture we're trying to create for our staff, is that we're a family, you know, almost like a fraternity or sorority or whatever you want to call it. Like, we're in this together. And the longer you stay around, the more fun it gets. And I'm telling you, for the people who have been at our staff party for like 3, 4, 5 years, some of us still coming up on 10 years now, just every year, it's more fun and it's funnier because you get it. Because the whole thing is built on inside jokes. So if you're a new staff member, if you've been 3 months, the whole thing probably looks pretty silly. But you can watch people who've been around for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. The longer they've been there, the more they laugh. In fact, my mom, who is here on the front row, just like every 11:30 on Sunday morning, let's give it up for my mom. She's not the mother of Jesus Christ, but she's my mom. She ain't married, but she's actually relatively new to Charlotte. I moved my mom to Charlotte when my dad got sick. My mom and dad moved here. It was kind of my dad's idea. He knew he wouldn't be able to take care of my mom much longer. So he pulled me aside and said, can you move your mom? I'd like her to be a part of your life. And to which I responded, what has she ever done for me? And I'm just kidding. I said, of course, I love for you guys to come on. So they moved here. My dad passed away. And my mom has now become a part of our church staff. So she was at the party on Thursday night laughing as hard as anybody. But a few years ago, before she moved to Charlotte, she was at the Christmas party just as my guest, but she didn't know any of the people. And it was very different sitting with her this past Thursday night than it was sitting with her a few years ago, because some things only make sense from the inside. Some things only make sense. I don't mean to embarrass you, man, but my buddy Joey Logano is here. He drives NASCAR. He's the best NASCAR driver that I know, the best NASCAR driver that goes to Elevation Church for sure. And he's usually at Lake Norman. He came to see me today. It worked out perfect because I told a story about him at a leadership thing, how he invited me to come watch NASCAR. It wasn't on my bucket list or anything, but he said, come, you will like it. You can bring the kids. And we did, and they treated us so great. I didn't have any interest in NASCAR until I knew somebody on the inside. When I came to see him, Brittany gave me a headset. His wife gave me a headset, and I got to listen to what was going on. And so, you know, before I had somebody on the inside, you know, it was just kind of like, but when I heard everything that was going on, so those cars can do what they do, when I had a headset, I got to hear his crew chief. I all of a sudden, I found myself on Sunday afternoons preaching and going home and watching NASCAR on TV because I knew somebody on the... Touch somebody, say, it's different on the inside. It's different on the inside. Some stuff only makes sense on the inside. And the reason some of you aren't very excited about God is because you're trying to look through the window at other people's worship. But if you would ever get a real relationship with God where you speak with Him and walk with Him and talk... I got a man on the inside. I wonder, would this verse preach for Christmas? Because Mary is in it, and you know, it's kind of interesting because Mary tells these servants to carry the jars, and Mary tells these servants to do what Jesus said, and Mary is the perfect person to do it, because wasn't it Mary that was told to carry something that she didn't understand either? The angel shows up and says, Mary, you got a man on the inside. What is in you is not of you, but it's going to come through you. So in a few minutes, when you see people come forward and they're bringing an offering to God, I wish you could hear on the headset how God has been speaking to them. I wish you could know the backstory of how God blessed them and made a way for them where there was no way. It's different on the inside. A couple seasons ago, the Panthers started winning. I asked one of the players, hey, how does it feel to have the community behind you now? Because you know Charlotte, we don't get behind nothing until it's like at least an 800 winning percentage. And now all the flags are flying. Everybody got stickers and everything like that. And he said, oh, it don't change anything for us. We're just doing what we do. We don't pay attention to that. And I kind of got that because I have to learn as a preacher how you don't preach for public opinion. You don't preach for popularity. I ain't running for nothing. You see a hairpiece on my head? I'm not running for nothing. I'm not running for nothing. I don't preach for approval. I don't preach for likes on a page. I don't preach so people on the outside will understand it. It's what's inside. This is just supposed to be a devotional before the offering. Everybody shout, calm down. All right. It's what's inside that counts. And when you're on the inside of something, you understand it at a different level. So a gentleman asked me recently how it feels to be building all these buildings that we're building now. And we've got a Rock Hill campus, which will be starting soon. And by this time next year, we'll be moved into our Ballantyne location as well. And all of these things that are opening up, Toronto just opened, it's a lot of things opening up. And I had to explain to him, because he doesn't go to our church, I said, to understand what motivates us and what motivates me, you can't look at the buildings, you can't look at the edifice, you can't look at the structure. You got to understand what goes on inside. There's a couple in our church that's been coming pretty much since we started. And our Uptown campus pastor, Jonathan Josephs, the Canadian sensation, Jonathan Josephs, double J, Jonathan Josephs. I'm shouting him out for his campus sake. He took them around recently. He wanted to show them how what they put into God's kingdom had been transformed to change lives. And they took a little trip, and I want you to watch this little video presentation to see that it's not buildings that we're building, but it's people, it's dreams, it's hopes, and it's new beginnings, because it's what's inside that counts. Check this out.
Story and stuff just from talking, but how did your family end up at Elevation Church?
That's a very good question.
Yes, that is a good question, Raven. So, you know, I'd like to say that the Holy Spirit kind of led us to Elevation, but really it was just close to our house.
Yeah.
So we went and checked it out and really felt a connection with God and the church. And
this is way back though. So you were living by the Providence campus?
Fall 2006.
Just the style and the energy was there.
Yep.
And it just felt like a very real place.
It was so different than any other church that we'd ever been to. It was just so cool to watch it grow, and it was so vibrant, and it just nothing else like it.
All right, so this should look familiar. Pulling up to Elevation Uptown. It's home for us. But we'll hop out, and there's someone I want you to meet.
I wanted to bring you guys to this spot. I know it's just our regular parking lot here at our Uptown location, but for Tori, this place has a lot of meaning. I wanted to give you a chance to just share some of your story with them.
In the summer of 2014, I was in a really abusive relationship, and kind of at the end of that, I came back to church. It was the first week of the Meant to Be series, and it was in that moment where I realized that I needed to rededicate my life to the Lord. This summer, I had the opportunity to get baptized. I made the decision in this parking lot here to dedicate my life publicly to Christ. And I had a really great moment last week after Pastor had done his introduction. He told us to look to the person next to us and share three things we were grateful for. Well, I had gone to church with my dad that day, and I've really seen him change because of this church. And the last thing that he shared was, I'm thankful that you found this church and that you brought me to it. And so it's just been really great to be here. And it's because of people like you creating an environment where I can come every week and choose Christ.
So just hearing a little bit about Tori, as she was sharing, kind of what came to mind for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's, to me, it's what I think Elevation does just a great job of is just kind of showing you the stories behind the numbers.
Is it easy for you to make the connection between your generosity to someone like Tori?
It'd be hard for me, I think, if all I did was sit in the back of the auditorium and, and leave. But when you're invested in people's lives, it's a lot easier to, because you get to see it firsthand.
And when you see where your dollars are going and what the investment actually looks like, and then you start putting faces on it, it absolutely is a game changer.
Yeah. We're heading to our University City campus. Bonnie, you've never been here before?
Never. I've wanted to.
Cool. Well, there's someone else there I wanted you guys to meet.
Last year, I had wanted to end the relationship. I was ready. We had two kids, and because of them, I tried to work it out as much as I could, but I decided that I couldn't take it anymore, and I told them I was done. I didn't have any choice but to turn to God. Me and my son came to Elevation, and we both just left, just feeling so filled.
You know when something's tugging on you, but you keep kind of running from it. Eventually, I just was like, one morning, I was like, all right, I'll just try to stop running. And so I came to church, and then from there, we just started coming as a family. It really did change our lives for the better.
On September 12, 2015, we got married right here.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We are involved in e-group. We all serve. We've made these connections here at Elevation where we just continue to be blessed. Thank you so much.
Just
what you've done these over the years with this church and what you contributed and sacrificed. You set an example.
You got something that's awesome, man. I'd love to hear your story. That's awesome, man.
Thank you, man.
And that's what supercharges my faith about hearing stories like that. It's like seeing, man, he's doing something in people's lives. It's just what else do you give your money to? Right? What else has that kind of significance? There's nothing.
As you think about the different end-of-year offerings over the years, does one stand out to you guys as particularly challenging?
Yeah, Dominate. Dominate was definitely the hardest one.
We'd never done it before. First time is always the hardest.
Yep. We kind of settled on an amount that we thought was big and was going to stretch us.
Pastor gives everybody enough time to fill out the card or write the check or whatever, and we already had it done. All I remember is we kind of looked at each other, and Robert said, I think we should give more.
And you were feeling that, too.
And I'm kind of like, okay. It was not bold enough. It wasn't being stretching our faith enough. We look back and there's a lot of things, just in joking, oh, we could have done that. Or, you look at what other people do with their surplus. Something like this where you get to go and you see the beautiful thing that is Elevation, and it's not the buildings, it's all these beautiful people. It is so much more fulfilling to see that than, my bathroom made over or whatever. That was on the list.
Yeah.
Still isn't done. But, it just falls into perspective, and in the middle of it, it's a little bit harder. But when you look backwards, it's so much easier to see where the value lies.
I know you guys are anxious to get to our Valentine location, but we did want to stop at Blatney, introduce you to somebody else.
You know a lot of my story already, but it's just an awesome opportunity to show you where it all happened, and how this has affected my family. You know, for many years, I never even stepped in the foot of a church before I moved down here. My mother was always asking me to come to Elevation Church, and I did everything I could to stay away because, you know, I had no relationship with the Lord at all. In 2011, in the Follow series, when I came to the end of myself in this seat right here, and I mean, when Pastor came and gave the countdown, I was already climbing over people before he could finish. Because I just knew that, you know, I didn't want to do it my way anymore. And I rushed out that hallway back there, and I ended up being the first person baptized on that side of the building.
Wow.
You know, and it's amazing because that momentum carried over to my brother, who you know very well. You know, my brother, it took time from him to come, and then he got saved at Uptown. And then you know the story of Christy.
Right.
You know, so, and she sat right over there. Actually, right down this aisle here where my mother, where the chain started with my mother,
wow.
myself, my brother, and then Christy.
Wow.
And you know how we prayed for her.
Yeah.
You know that.
Small group.
In our group.
Yeah.
And we prayed for those walls to be broken down. And my mother told Christy, just come down here, and the only condition I ask is that you sit with me in church.
Wow.
And she almost didn't come.
Wow.
But she ended up taking a Greyhound down here.
Right.
And then I remember the campus pastor gave the invitation. And then when I looked over, she stood up with her hand up. And to the moment where she stood up, there were people in this building that knew her, that knew of her, and they were praying. You know, so because of your prayers, your generosity, these seats are open for us to change families. And I can't thank you enough. You're such a huge part of our life. So thank you for everything you've done.
That's
you've been
awesome,
such an amazing part, man. I love you, man.
I
love you, man.
That's
love you.
Awesome, dude.
I love you guys so much.
Oh man! All right, what do you think of that?
Yeah, that was pretty.
That was
pretty
a surprise.
so our e group, so we all gathered around. Every one of us prayed and just lifted her up and stuff like that. And so it was like one of those miracles we see, right? That literally God intervened in this young lady's life, right? And we were get to be part of it. You know, we were able to just kind of see it for ourselves. That's just, oh man.
There it is.
See over there, Raven?
Look at that.
That's the new Valentine's.
That's the new one. Raven, looks like it would be a little windy on the inside with no doors or windows.
So today we wanted to go around to some of our other campuses and share some of those stories with you guys.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes.
We've been looking at what God's done in our past, but this is a piece of what he wants to do in our future, and that's kind of...
That is unbelievable.
God has been so faithful in our past, and really we're standing in the middle of the auditorium of our Ballantyne location. And this is really a snapshot of the next phase of our church as we continue to expand and continue to reach people with the hope of Christ. So we got to hear some great stories today, how God is working. But before we left, there is one more person I wanted you guys to have a chance to spend some time with today.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Hello.
Hi.
Raven.
See you.
I like your boots.
Thank you.
We're the Ferdicks. We've been at Elevation for quite a while. Almost as long as you.
Your life has been changed too from Elevation?
In so many ways.
Yep.
How's it feel looking at the church that God's using you to help build?
God has done something that's just, it's just blown our mind. And I have like no trouble believing we're going to make 100,000. Man, we can do it. We're going to make it.
People keep giving. People keep showing up, serving, praying. You want to go up on the stage?
Yeah.
I want to show you something real quick.
Let's go look.
Come on up. Let's go out. And not only is this room going to be filled with people who need hope, people like you've been talking to all day, but far beyond this place that we'll ever see, the songs, the sermons, the life that comes out of this church, it's only just begun.
We were talking in the car and just like, we literally could impact an entire generation of people. An entire world can be deeply impacted on the small things that we can bring to God.
It's cool to think too about how all of this is going to impact our kids.
Yeah.
How Raven will grow up and Abby and
right.
Graham and Elijah, and they won't think God is dead or the church is boring and
right.
insignificant.
Yeah.
Right.
They're not even going to know what it's like for the church to be irrelevant.
Right.
For them, church is not going to be something they endure, but something they look forward to.
Yeah.
How could you not participate and look in from the outside and not have ownership in this?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I have as much ownership in it as you guys do.
And you do.
Awesome.
Yeah,
and that's the picture
totally
I want the whole church to get. Is that everyone who gives, everyone who invests in this, whether they're able to invest a lot or a little bit, they're standing on this stage with me.
Yep.
Every time I preach, every time I hold a microphone, every soul that's touched through this ministry. You're touching it with me. We're standing together.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And that brings me so much strength. So I just want to thank you guys.
I love it.
Thank
you. That's
awesome. Cool. You know, to me, maybe the best part of this campaign was the kids are getting old enough to understand it a little bit. We've tried to involve them. Elijah's our oldest. He's 10. So I walked in Saturday morning. Holly had them at the table. They had their jars. Show them real quick. These are their give jars. And in E-Kids, we teach the kids, you know, give, save, spend in that order. God first, save, put it aside, spend. And it's so much easier if you get that in them early. And so the kids all got to figure out what amount of Holly's money and my money that they wanted to pretend to give to God. And so Elijah, he comes and hears me at 11:30, so he's here right now. But he gave a certain amount. Abby gave a certain amount. I remember when we were doing Banner Years, it was our biggest offering that we ever did. And Elijah gave, I want to say $70. Do you remember something? It was a big amount, and it was Christmas money, birthday money, whatever, and that's what he wanted to do. And when he had given it, he asked, now how much is the Ballantine building going to cost? And when I told him it's like a $25 million total project, his little head fell. Yeah, I remember it slumped over, and he goes, my gift's not going to do anything. And I tried to explain to him, because that year another person had given $1.1 million, and that alongside his gift, when everybody does proportionally what represents faith to them, then everybody gets to participate in the same miracle. And the interesting thing about doing this with my family now is I get to show them, hey, mommy and I are doing this alongside you. Elijah actually snuck a peek at our check while we were at the table, and he went, he couldn't get his mind around. I said, yeah, boy, that's right. You know, we believe in this stuff. This is what our family does. And we have ours. The problem really comes when you start measuring your contribution against somebody else's context. You don't want to do that, because then you'll either give God too little, or you'll feel like what you gave wasn't big enough. And I want you to know something about God, and this doesn't just refer to our offering, it's just everything in your life. God measures your contribution in the context of your capacity. Might be worth writing down if anybody wants to pretend that this stuff is informationally helpful. That God measures your contribution in the context of your capacity. And what I mean by that when I say it is, let me just do a little illustration. I'm big on these little illustrations for memory. So this would be the person, the family, that's able to give what we would call a big gift, because some people are in positions to do that. So you got this guy, and then you got this guy. This is just how my mind thinks. I know it's very elementary. It's not a real deep illustration. But God measures contribution in the context of capacity. Look at verse 7 of John chapter 2 one more time. It says that Jesus told the disciples, or the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them. Everybody shout the next phrase. To the brim. That's what's important. Not how big the cup is, but how full you fill it. That's what's important. Not how big your jar is. God knows how much capacity you have, but how much faith you're willing to put into it. And that's something important to realize, because otherwise, you know, you might have people who are big gulp capacity people, and they're like, oh yeah, man, I'm give to the thing. Okay. Here it is. And like, that's a lot. And then you might have somebody else who's able to give, but it's just a little bit. And I could ask you the question, which one has more? But the question isn't really about the contents. It's about the capacity. So if you were a big gulp person God's not going to measure what you gave or what you did for him while you were here on the earth up against what somebody else did. God's going to measure it in the context of what you had the capacity to do. Y'all aren't helping me a bit today. Why'd y'all go Presbyterian on me this weekend? I'm saying that it's what's inside that counts. One time Jesus was watching people bring their offering in the temple, and he's watching people and he sees Fat Cat Freddy walk by. Fat Cat Freddy does real estate deals all over the world. Fat Cat Freddy comes and drops something, but it's really not sacrificial. So if it's not sacrificial, it's not significant. So Jesus doesn't say a word about it. Here comes a little lady. She's a widow and she has what's called a mite. It'd be a little coin, very small, the smallest denomination of currency she could have brought. And Jesus said, she gave more than all of you. Because she gave at the full context of her capacity. What I'm trying to say is Abby might have outgave all of us fools this weekend with $4 in the context of what she had. And I don't know how you imagine the miracle, but it is interesting to note that the Bible doesn't say at what exact point the water turned into wine. So I like to use my imagination. I figure if the Bible wanted me to know exactly when it happened, it would have told me. Otherwise, I'm free to imagine. And so I think about how Jesus mostly does stuff in the Bible, and usually he does stuff in a way that requires faith. So I don't think that the water turned into wine while they were pouring it into the jars, because that wouldn't have produced any faith. I mean, if you were watching the stuff turn into wine while you were pouring it, if God blessed you while you were doing it, no faith. Touch somebody, say no faith. What I think happened is that after they had drawn out the water that they had poured into the jars, and as they were bringing it to the master, and if you start your own church, you can preach it the way you want to. This is mine. I believe that the water changed a little bit with every step they took. I believe they were watching it change. Is it just me? Can't be. It's the lighting. Man, I think something is happening here. I'm just taking the step God told me to take. And the change doesn't happen all at once. But I'm watching the change from the inside. And it says that the master of the banquet knew how good the product was, but he didn't know the process. Because to understand the process, you got to have a spot on the inside. Only the insider saw the miracle. I'm trying to say everybody got to go home with a buzz, but only the ones who participated went home with a blessing. I'm saying that only the servants saw the real power, and the power is always in the process. If you know I'm preaching right, clap your hands. Clap your hands. And so I'm going to pass out some jars right now, and this will be symbolic of what you have to give to God. Coming down your rows, there are some little jars that will say fulfilled on them. And we'd like you to take one per family, if you could take one per family. And if you don't have anything to write with, take a pen. If you need a new one of these pledge cards where you're giving, today we're actually not just giving the pledge. We're hoping that most people will either online or here give the gift as you're able. But if you need one of these, take one, and I'll explain about what we're going to do with it. First of all, if you could handle it very carefully, that would be helpful. The last thing that we need is a lawsuit while we're trying to raise an expansion offering, and you want to break the jar and then slit your wrist and sue the church, and now we got to take the fulfilled offering and people die and go to hell because you are clumsy. So please be careful with the jar. I got a vivid imagination. But we're going to use this in a minute, and the worship team is going to come back out. And I do believe that giving is the greatest act of worship. Because I think you can honor God with your lips and your heart be far from him. But when you get, watch this, invested in. Some of us have sipped so much. Oh, that's good. Thank you, Lord. That's a good word. Good sermon. But now you get to serve. Sipping and serving both release two different levels of blessing. And so as you take this jar, it's something that I want you to keep for 2016. And you see that label that says fulfilled? This is where I want you to write your word. Put a word down that represents something you're believing God to do in your life in the coming year. It's just a way to connect your faith and expectancy with God, which I think always opens our hearts. And if you need more than one word, that's okay. If you need to hyphenate, abbreviate, it's between you and God. The word doesn't even have to make sense to anybody else, just if it means something to you. You can even put a code word. If the thing you need from God is something that you don't want to write down, God knows. But put it on there in a way that you'll know what it is. Because you're going to keep that with you. Now, in just a moment, we're going to sing some songs and be a really cool time. God has really met with us all weekend so far. And I believe he saved the best till last. So we're expecting God to show up in a great way in this time. And we're still going to end on time. So you don't need to like leave early or anything like that. We're going to end right on time like we normally do. But when we begin to release you row by row in just a moment, two things I want you to do. The first one is to bring your gift or your card. Now, even if you're not giving, you can still come. Because if you don't give God anything other than your faith, that's a lot. I said, if you don't give God anything other than your faith, that's a lot. So I want everybody to come. I don't want anybody to miss out because you couldn't give. But when you come, those of you who are able to give, if you would place your gift in here, and this giving station says Joshua 21:45. That's been our theme verse for the series. That not one of God's promises to Israel failed. Everyone was, say the word, fulfill. And so as you fulfill your commitment to God today, if you would take this jar we gave you and pour it out, somebody shout, pour it out.
Pour it out.
Look at the person next to you, say, pour it out.
Pour it out.
It symbolizes that I'm pouring my part into God's purpose. I'm pouring my life into something bigger than me. I'm pouring into his cause. I'm pouring into his kingdom. And as you pour it out, we're going to see, yeah, that's right, how we can do so much more together than we can apart. Y'all be careful clapping. I know you're holding your jars, so just nod. And when you pour that out, it's a symbolic gesture. Please make sure that you put your envelope in this one and your water in this one. Okay? You'll be surprised. It sounds simple. And I always mess up the details of these two, so I'm trying to remember everything they told me. They told me to tell you, if you don't want to write it down here, write it down later. They told me to tell you that if you could take the lid off before you get to the station, we won't all be here until the fourth quarter. And so it'd be really good if you could unscrew it on your way and then pour it out. And I want you to do one more thing though when you pour it out, and God just gave me this at 9:30. I want you to make sure that you keep the lid off of it when you take the jar back with you. Because I want you to understand that he is able to do immeasurably more than you ask or imagine. There is no limit to what God can do in your life. You live under an open heaven. And then you're going to keep this somewhere in the days ahead where you can remember and expect God's faithfulness. So that is the plan. And I ask that everyone reverence this moment, because you got to understand, for a lot of people, this is very meaningful to them. This is very meaningful to us. This is not only how we build God's church, but this is how he builds us. So we're expecting great things. If you've given online, or if you're going to give online, you can note that on your card. That's awesome. And then drop that in there. I always try to ask God before we give our offering, if everybody gave like we gave, would we be okay? And so I'm excited to bring God my best this weekend. This is not a joke to me. It's in me. This isn't a role I play. This is in me. And I want in on this. I want in on this. I believe in the church and I want in on it. And if you want in on it too, jump up on your feet. Let's get ready to give. Let me pray before we release you to give. And as you wait, worship God. As you wait to go, worship God. Father, we release glory in this place today. We know that as your people give, heaven takes notice. And we thank you that every gift, large and small, that is given in faith is going to produce a great harvest in our communities and around our world. We thank you for your people. They are precious. You said that the righteous wouldn't be forsaken and their seed wouldn't beg for bread. So we believe you to be a great provider. Release provision, release purpose in this house as we give in Jesus' name. Everybody who's ready to give, shout amen. Shout amen again. As they release you at every location, let's give to God in the spirit of worship. Come on. I think we ought to give God glory for all of the faith of all of the people. Come on, that sounds kind of weak. We ought to give God glory. I want to show you one more thing. I want to show you one more thing, and I want to pray over every offering that was just given and every offering that will be given, and every offering that has been given. Come on up, guys. At all of the locations, I asked six people to come up and represent these six stone jars that were in the passage that I read. It's what's inside that counts. Come on, David Hummel. Come on, Jay Raven. Come on, Joel Delph. As they get in position, I want to show you a verse that I glossed over when I read the passage, but it's the most significant verse to the whole thing that we just did. Why would Jesus take the time to get drunk people drunker at a wedding? You ever wonder that? And it's his first miracle. But I understand it because it represented that he came to bring change to a system that was watered down. That the love of God that was supposed to freely flow like wine, the Spirit of God that was supposed to open blind eyes, had been watered down by the traditions of men. But I also think that verse 11 provides a context that it was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. Everybody shout glory. Glory. And his disciples believed in him. And that was the miracle. The greatest miracle isn't what happened in the jars. It's what happened in their hearts. And the greatest miracle that we'll see from this offering will not be an edifice or a structure. We'll build buildings. We're going to help the refugees that we told you about a few weeks ago. All of that's going to happen, and that's wonderful because the wine needs to flow. But the most significant thing that's going to happen through your act of faith is the change that happens in your heart, where the water of your unbelief becomes the wine of joy, the joy that can only come by faith. The greatest miracle happens in your heart. So we want to symbolize that now. When I count to three on every location, I want these guys to pour out what they brought up here, what you brought up here, and pour it out to symbolize the change that's happening in your heart right now as you stand before God. The change that we're expecting God for in our communities. You ready? On three. One, two, three. God, we declare change is coming to the hearts. Water to wine. Depression to joy. Sorrow to strength.